This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Thursday, the 12th of July. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Tom Morgan. Tonight on the show, we head to the LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference that began today in Melbourne. The fourth annual conference is proudly co-presented by Thorn Harbour Health and ACON and aims to create safer spaces to strengthen the health and well-being of all LBQ women, including Aboriginal women and sister girls, women of colour, women with disabilities, trans, gender diverse and intersex women. This week is also NAIDOC Week, with celebrations and events held across Australia to celebrate the history, culture and achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, not only in Indigenous communities, but from those across all of Australia, from all walks of life. The theme of NAIDOC this year is Because of Her, We Can, celebrating the essential role that women have played and continue to play as active and significant role models at the community, local, state and national levels. Tonight on this episode of The Informer, NAIDOC Week and the LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference intersect as we hear stories and experience from the Indigenous sister girl Ilyetta Adelaide Manton, also known as Liz Moore's Lily, as well as hear from the panel discussions on Aboriginal voices from the LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Today was the first day of the LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference in Melbourne, thanks to Thorn Harbour Health and ACON. Happening during NAIDOC Week, the theme of Because of Her, We Can was a huge part of the narrative of the opening of the day. Now, Dean Arcuri reflects on what this means and the importance of Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander inclusion in the conference with Kiralee Howard, Kiralee Hayward and Karen Price, the Deputy CEO of ACON.
The timing of the conference falling during NAIDOC Week and the theme of Because of Her We Can, I think, is really a huge reminder about the overall struggle for minority groups and people who are still a long way from realising full recognition, respect and equality in our society. And there's a lot of different groups in that situation. But NAIDOC Week, obviously, with huge disparities in life expectancy and health status, in rates of incarceration, rates of dispossession and poverty and things like that. I think NAIDOC Week is a massively important platform, and I think the more Aboriginal voices we can hear, and particularly Aboriginal women, who are quite often the bedrocks of lots of communities, and they are beacons, as I said in my speech this morning. They are pillars of strength, and I think we have a lot to learn from them. I think that it's a great thing that there's a panel this afternoon featuring the voices of Aboriginal women, many of whom will be from LGBTIQ communities, and that minority within a minority within a minority, where the intersections of race, sex and sexuality is so rich and complicated, and we really need to learn and understand how that plays out for people more. And I think the more opportunities we have for hearing from those women directly themselves, the better.
It's only been half a day of the first day of the conference, but has there been anything that you've heard or anything that surprised you?
Look, one of my favourite comments from this morning, there was a beautiful statement made by one of the panellists where they said, hope is not a strategy. and keep stepping forward until someone else says stop, and don't let that someone be you. I think that huge, that is so powerful. I loved the fact that we actually can't sit back and hope that someone else is going to do that for us, or that that movement and progress will continue without us actually stepping forward and lifting some of that weight ourselves. Or if we want to be somewhere and having, you know, those rights and recognition and equality that we desire, we actually have to be part of it. So hope won't get us there. We actually have to be active. And also the idea that, you know, don't let somebody else stop you from achieving your goals, and that really self-determination and power, empowerment and resilience in that statement, I just loved it. It was, so far, that's my moment of the conference.
Why do you think this conference is so important?
I think this conference is so important to spread awareness about LGBTI and intersectional issues, particularly within, you know, women's health, trans health, and especially for a group that I identify in, non-binary and gender diverse peeps as well, because we all come in different shapes and sizes. We have different faiths. We have, some of us have disabilities, some of us... Our community is so damn diverse that we need to educate the community on how to best help us achieve best outcomes, and that's what I feel this conference does.
Do you think there's a significant importance to having the conference at the same time as NAIDOC Week?
Absolutely. I mean, there was a speaker that was speaking specifically on closing the gap earlier, and, you know, that is still a huge issue within the Indigenous community. So it is so, so, so important, because most of those groups are affected, and the LGBTI communities within those groups are doubly affected than what we are. So it's important that we address the needs of those groups especially.
Today at the conference, a lot of people have been asking me, what is it like to be a man in this space? After all, it's an LGBTIQ women's health conference. And the reality is, it's actually really easy. Everyone is sharing information, stories, experiences in an absolutely brilliant and positive way, where you get to hear stories that, quite frankly, we don't hear enough of, from parts of the communities that spend their lives constantly being marginalised because of their gender. But then there's the added layer of the fact that there's an additional marginalisation because of their sexuality or gender diversity or of how they identify. There's also a strong recognition of Indigenous and Torres Strait Islanders, as well as an importance of hearing their stories and their input and what they're going through. It's a completely different narrative to the data that we have in regards to non-Indigenous people, and it's really important that we create the spaces that let these voices be heard. And I'm really grateful that I get to sit here and hear them. I'm really grateful that I get to share them through this show and on the podcast that we're going to be putting on Joy, because we need to keep hearing from all parts of these communities. And for 2 days at this conference, people aren't only sharing stories, they're sharing data, they're sharing important information, they're sharing contacts. And it won't only create pathways for voices to be able to grow, but the important narrative that's getting shared about LGBTIQA plus women and marginalised people further within that space that need to have their voices heard, their stories heard, and their needs met, so that when they need support, when they need access to service providers, when they need to live a healthy life, it can be approached in the exact same way that it is for everyone else.
That was Dean Arcuri with Kiralee Hayward and Karen Price, Deputy CEO of ACON, reflecting on today's LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference and its inclusiveness.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
At the close of today's LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference, there was a brilliant panel discussion titled Aboriginal Voices with Nesri Dickerson, Dodie Egmalays, Esther Montgomery and Jackie Stewart, facilitated by Alison Toby. Alison opened the panel by asking, being Indigenous in any space is pretty hard, but what can we learn from our history of addressing LGBTIQ visibility in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities? What works and what do you think doesn't? Here are some of the panel answers to that first question.
Well, this is the thing, because the first thing that we've got to do as Aboriginal LGBTI people is really take on our own people. you know, it's 2018 and already Aboriginal organisations, certainly in Western Australia, do not have anything formal for LGBTI people. Now, from a remote and, well, from a regional WA, remote and rural, there is absolutely nothing. So you have to make your way to Perth. But even in Perth, they have nothing. You have Derbal Yerrigan, you have Yorgham, which deals in trauma and family counselling, but there is nothing for LGBTI people. Now, the issue that I've got is that they are in receipt of funding from the state of Western Australia, from the Commonwealth. This falls under the closing the gap, and they should be addressing LGBTI issues, but they fail dismally. So we have a long, long, long way to go in Western Australia.
Well, I was born in Townsville. Growing up there, it was hard. Coming out as a lesbian, there wasn't not a lot of things for me there. And coming out to the family wasn't easy. Yeah, my biggest support was my sister, and she was in Alice Springs at the time. Yeah, she was my rock, and I needed her. And I just moved. I went in foster care for a bit. I went around. I just kept running. And this is all happened in Townsville, and there was no one around, no service. It was really hard. And yeah, she flew me to Alice Springs, and I loved it. It was the best move. I met amazing people. The fact that I had to move away from my own country, where I'm from, and stuff like that. It was different. Coming from rainforest into the desert.
I just wanted to chuck in my two cents. For me, I grew up in an urban Aboriginal community. So it wasn't necessarily, it wasn't a big deal to come out as gay, but in saying that, there wasn't actually a lot of people that came out as LGBTIQA or anything else. In recent years, in my work life, I've come across people who are starting to understand that in our communities we need a mental shift, and it comes along the same lines as this thought of decolonising or recolonising, as we're starting to use the term now. So it's about us, just like the broader LGB community, we've had these, heteronormative gender roles put on us and stuff like that. So in our communities, we've got the oldest surviving culture, and we probably more so than anyone else on this earth have for tens of thousands of years been so in tune with nature, our surroundings, our Mother Earth and all the rest of it. In saying that, because our communities have been colonised and they've brought in religions that have told us there has to be set roles, there has to be, you know, certain jobs for women, certain jobs for males. I mean, everyone knows how that story goes. We need to now start recolonising our thoughts with our traditional knowledge, because if you look at nature, in our communities, we know what season is for every animal, what time that fruit drops. We know all these things. And there is evidence and there is examples for us to especially teach our young ones that it's okay to come out. You look at something like the barramundi fish. Barramundi changes from a male to a female. Yeah, so that's in nature. That's something our people would have known and therefore would have accepted. There's a similar story with the Canadian Aboriginal folks. They have the two-spirit term as a way of explaining people. Yeah, as a way of explaining, transgender to the broader community. And so a lot of these things exist in our own cultures as well. I'm not going to speak on behalf of all 250-plus Aboriginal nations, but I know that certainly for a lot of them, this knowledge has been suppressed for a long time, and it's time for us and our allies, our non-Indigenous allies, to start unearthing this information and bringing it to light, especially for our younger generations to understand it's completely natural.
And more education and more understanding within them communities on the diversity and tolerance within our communities.
Yeah.
You know, and how they can help us get along better in life just by accepting to us or talking to us or opening up a few doors for us when they're closing them on us every single bloody day.
Yeah.
You know, give us our voices back, because that's all we want at the end of the day. You know, because our voice has been stolen many years ago. And sometimes some of us, we can't never find that voice back. And sometimes, you know, I squeal to my top to try and get that voice back. And I just want that acceptance from the non-Indigenous communities also, and for them to understand what we go through on a day-to-day basis, not only being transgender, gay, lesbian, you know, Q, everything, what we have to endure on in communities on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, as Aboriginal people.
As right. Indigenous sister girls, brother boys, whatever, you know, what we endure and how they can help our communities better.
Yeah.
That was audio from the Aboriginal Voices panel at the close of the first day of the LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference. We have a full podcast of that and other panels from the LGBTIQ Women's Health Conference up on the Joy website soon. Though we're heading toward the end of NAIDOC Week, that doesn't mean you can't celebrate, respect and listen to the voices, stories and history of the Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander communities. And if you aren't making space for their stories, it's time to think about why.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Be mindful of us girls, because you don't know how hard we've had it. That was what we were told after speaking with sister girl Ilyetta Adelaide Manton, also known as Lismore's Lily. As a child, she was raped, and in order to remain a part of the system, she kept quiet, so that she could remain living amongst the other girls instead of with the boys. Miranda Sparks spoke to Lismore's Lily about her work with sister girls in prison as she shared what it's like being an Indigenous transgender woman. The testimony is confronting to hear and a part of a distressing conversation, but it's one that needs to be shared and an important one to listen to. But listener discretion is advised.
Because of her, we can. Because of my grandmother, we can. Because of my mother, we can. Because of my ancestor women that fought all through them years and did what they did to help us get along, have a better society. Because of her, we can. When it says, because of her, we can, I think of my old transgendered sister girls that did the fighting for us younger generation. Because of her, we can. We can walk the streets. We can walk with our head high and not worried when they're going to pull that blanket from underneath our feet again. Because of them old girls fighting for what they believed in. You know, how many times they got pulled over by police and bashed and raped and chucked in the back of the police wagon because they were black. You know, I could tell some horror stories.
And that's a history that we also forget a lot of the time.
It is. Basically, with us girls, most of my life with the police, it was fork it or walk it. You want a lift home? I'd love a lift home. Fork it. Oh, no, it's okay, I'll walk it.
Those who might not be familiar with the term sister girl, you know, tell us a bit about that.
Okay, terminology of an Indigenous sister girl on that community is terminology which means in the white community, transgendered woman. So our terminology for sister girl is because we live off the land. A lot of us still live off the land and still practice our woman's ways. So when you become a woman in an Aboriginal community, you're no longer allowed to sit with the men anymore. And because I was a little boy that found my little girl, I was made to sit with the women straight away. I wasn't allowed to do men things. I wasn't allowed to touch didgeridoo. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere near the men, for that matter, because I was now a girl. You sit with the women now. You got to practice in woman stuff.
You have a different perspective on lesbian trans women, you know, yeah, because of this.
I do have a different perspective on trans lesbian because I've always seen myself as a straight Indigenous woman. When it comes to, because when I was younger, we were known as transsexuals. There was none of this terminology of non-binary, transgendered or anything like that. It was straight down the line, you're transsexual. So then I had to sort of go through life and get rid of the stigma of being a transsexual and put myself in the transgender shoes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So that was a change for us too. It's, it's bad being transgender in a society that doesn't give a f*** these days. It's even worse being a black bum. I've got double dose. I've got a double dose because I'm black, but I'm also transgender.
Now, do you think you've been dealt a shitty hand with that?
No, because I give it back to them. They want to give it to me, I'm going to give it back to them. I don't lay down and hide in the sheets for no one.
Amen.
I tell them straight how it is. If you don't like me, you don't need to stand next to me. You don't need to sit there and judge me. You can walk up the road and stand there. Because how dare you stand in front of me and tell me that people like me, with the churches these days, you're an abomination. Mm. You're this, you're that. That was all handwritten by a white man. And like my grandmother first said, you know what, Lita? And I said, what's that, ma'am? She said, when white men first come here, they had all the Bibles, bottles and boats, and we had all the lamb. To this day, my baby, we got all their Bibles, bottles and boats, and they've got all our lamb. And that's exactly how it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly straight down the line here. Let's give the blacks the bottles. Let's give them all the drugs. If we couldn't kill them one way, let's kill them another. I'm the gender diverse double for Scarlet Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlet Alliance is a sex workers association. And basically what we do is to make sure that sex workers are safe.
Mm-hmm.
They know their laws.
Mm-hmm.
Sex workers, transgender sex workers that need our help that are in jail, we step in.
Mm-hmm.
And we help them too. We've had some horror cases lately with a girl in Western Australia. Things have been really bad with the gender community and things like that. And we had to fight to get that girl hormones in a men's jail system. So she's just gotten her hormones in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And they refused her everything basically because she had HIV. She's looking at 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's also Indigenous sister girl too.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, I had a best friend in the system, and her name was Paris, and I was in jail with her, and I'm not ashamed to say that I've been to jail.
Mm-hmm.
What doesn't kill you, it only makes you stronger. But that night, I told her I loved her. We were in the room next to each other. The next morning, I woke up without my Paris. They got her in that cell, and God knows what they'd done to her, but she had passed away. That morning they come to my door and they put a sheet over my head and told me that they were walking me past her door not to look in. So they put a sheet over top of my head so that I wouldn't see anything. When I got halfway, curiosity got the better of me and I ripped the sheet off. She was laying on the bed naked with just a pair of underwear on tied to the back of the bed. How could a woman tie herself physically to the back of a bed? It's not possible. It's not possible at all. Because where she was tied was right down the bottom of the bed. It's not possible for her hands to even reach down there to tie that.
Yeah.
So there was a big investigation in the whole system. I was let go. I was doing a long time, but I was let go early because of that, because I was traumatised of seeing what had just happened to one of my sisters. Traumatised me.
Yeah.
Fully. I've got another little sister in there at the moment, and I'm really worried about her. Been thinking a lot about her. She's in there for her and her partner. She copped a lot from him. She copped some good hides from that man. Till she got to a point where she couldn't take it no more. And she killed him.
You alright?
Yeah.
Need to take a minute?
It just hurts to see that our sisters go through this pain and suffering. And when they do something about it, they're treated inhumanely because they're standing up to what they believe in. Because men just can't keep their hands to themselves. You know what I mean? And she'd put up with that for a very, very long time. Being bashed, abused by a drunken fool. Beautiful, most stunning girl I've ever met in my life.
Mm.
Beautiful, flawless. You know, and to see her go through that pain and the suffering that she's going through just really saddens me. It really does, to know that the police couldn't even help her when she needed the help, but they soon charged her when this was done. But why couldn't they be there for her when she needed them the most?
I think we know the answer to that.
Exactly. Because of being transgender. And that's plain to see. I mean, I've had dealings with the police all my life. And basically, I've been walking through town and they've pulled up and they said, oh, where do you think you're going, think? You know, that was basically the story of my life. Not only did I have to fight one town to be Lismore's Lily, I had to fight three towns. So I had to fight Lismore, Ballina and Byron Bay just to be who I am. Yeah, things got very stressful and I had to go away for a while. But then I when I was in Sydney, it made me stronger. So I came back for another round of fighting. And this time I won. This time I won. And I let Lismore know how I felt too. Yeah. You know, and just recently in the last year, I've become Lismore's Lily. I'm an icon in Lismore, Ballina and Byron Bay now because of that. Yeah. Because I didn't lay down and die. Because I stood to what I believed in. Because I'm a fighter, you know. I want to live to see 60. I don't want to live to see 40. Or 30, or 20, or 18, like they all said, I should be dead at 18. All the old trans girls used to say, she'd be dead at 18. I've outlived them all. Mm-hmm. They're all gone now.
It is amazing that we see now more than ever, like, you know, more transgender elders and more folks who survive
the ones, yeah. Especially the ones that stand up what they believe in. A lot of transgender elders I get wild with because they all for themselves. Or, oh, I wonder how much more plastic I can put in my face, you know. So it's not about that. It's about standing together as one and being with your sisters. Yeah, you've gone through your journey. Help someone else with theirs.
That's it.
Help someone else with their journey, because I never had help with my journey. I had to walk a very lonely road. I had to get bashed and dragged through towns just to be me. You know, and that's what I say, don't turn your back on another sister. Stand there and help her. Because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be dragged up the road and your clothes being ripped off you and people laughing at you because you've got a doodle between your legs. But you look like a girl.
That was the very moving yet heavy and raw conversation with Lyetta Adelaide Manton, also known as Lismore's Lily. But it is important that we hear it. The voices and experiences of our transgender community can often be silenced, disregarded, or ignored, and that cannot and should not happen. But when you add another level of marginalisation, that of Indigenous people, we need to listen instead of assuming that their experience is the same as the non-Indigenous trans community. In 2006, Lismore's Lily was diagnosed with breast cancer and had to undergo chemotherapy and breast scrapings, and now she is raising funds so that she can have breast reconstruction, so that when she looks in the mirror, she can do so without needing to wear implants. We've posted a link to her GoFundMe page on the Informer's social media.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media, at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom Morgan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.